Praise the Lord. Father God, we are just so in love with you. And we thank you that you are even more in love with us. And you have given us everything that we need on this planet. And we thank you that you've also given us your word, Jesus, the written word, the Bible, and then you've given us this Holy Spirit. And we're asking you, Holy Spirit, come here today, open our eyes of our understanding that we might know more and just help us in our life to be brighter in Jesus' name. And everybody that wants to be Pentecostal for a few seconds, just go, yay! All right, come on, woo! Okay, if you can reach the chandeliers, go for it. Okay. We've been doing a series. Is this our fifth or sixth week? I don't know. I just come here every week. It's real easy. I show up, okay? And we've been doing a series called Jesus Is. And every week we changed what Jesus is. If you've got guilt in your life, we said Jesus is mercy. Did anybody receive that mercy in your life? Man, I did. Man. Woo! Okay, Jesus is, who was I talking to? I think I was talking with Erica as we were walking up the stairs and not being anxious or fearful. And we said, Jesus is peace. He's peace in our life for those situations. And we said, Jesus is grace. And I forgot what the other one. Friend, that's right. Last week was Jesus was a friend. Jesus is a friend. And that was good. I got blessed, all right? All right, okay, I'm warmed up. This is it. Anybody needs something or cold, I'll loan it to you. I see you all going, woo! All right. This week, and this is going to be our final week, we're going to do Jesus is healer. Everybody say that. Jesus is healer. Aren't you glad? Yes. Man, okay. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus came as healer. All right, and we're going to go through scriptures in the Bible that you're going to know that you know that you know so that you can tell other people, because some people just don't know that Jesus came as healer, all right? And he came as healer because he cared about mankind. He cared about me. He cared about you. He cared about you so much to be healer, not just because he was Jesus, not just because I can do it. I have all power and authority. But he came as healer because he cares about us. The Bible says he has compassion. All right. So if you're taking notes, one of the reasons why Jesus is healer is because he cares for us. You know, some days, man, the world doesn't care snot about you. They just want to smush you. But you can go, listen, Jesus cares about me. He's my healer. Jesus cared so much about us that when he saw people with sickness and disease, he was moved with compassion, all right? He was moved with compassion. He didn't like sickness and disease. Matter of fact, open up to John, would you? John chapter 6, verse 38. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I have a Bible without the thumbnails in it today, so I'm flipping here. You know, don't you love those little things? Matthew, what did I say? 6:38. Thank you. That's because I started there. John 6:38. Thank you, guys. All right. So today we want to look at the willingness of God to heal through Jesus. And this scripture, John 6:38, says this. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of whom sent me. Okay, I have come down basically to say I'm not going to do my own thing. Don't you love those people that are not team players and they're out doing their own thing? Right, okay, well, Jesus says, I didn't come to do my own thing. As a matter of fact, in Colossians, the Bible says that God said that Jesus was his express image. God said that Jesus was his exact image, in his exact likeness. So you could almost say they were identical. They were identical. Now, I was hanging out with some friend's house. My friend Bevy had her 50th birthday, and she's got two grandsons. She's got a bunch of them. But there's a couple of them that are twins. There's one bunch that's twins. They're identical twins. I cannot tell them apart. All right. And then someone says, well, you got to look at David. He's got a little mole on his ear. So every time I got around, I was like, which ear is it? Okay. So really, they weren't identical, were they? When you think about it. But God said Jesus was his exact image. They were identical. All right. They were identical. Everybody agree with me? They were identical. Now, that also means that scripture we just read, that Jesus wasn't out doing his own thing, and he was identical to God, so he was doing what God wanted to do. And if Jesus is healer, I think God is interested in healing, right? Right? Okay, I'm building. I'm going someplace, all right? There is a purpose to this, all right? Now, again, Jesus was in the exact image of God. He wasn't some rogue doing his own thing. He was doing what his Father wanted him to do, all right? And he cared so much for the world. God cared also so much for the world that he sent Jesus to be a display of who he was. God did not come down, except for he walked in the garden, but, you know, afterwards, Jesus came down. God, the Son, Jesus, came down to this earth to display who God was. So one place, one of the disciples said, show us God. And he's like, duh, haven't you been with you that long? You know, la la. Because Jesus was a display of who God was. And if Jesus was about healing, God was about healing, all right? Now, over the years, from the time Jesus hit the planet through the book of Acts, somehow some people, not us, right? Everybody, not us. Some people get these religious thoughts, and they think that God put sickness on them, that God wants to teach him a lesson. I'm like, wait a minute. Jesus went about healing, and God is good. How could you dare say that? But we get this religious goofy thinking, all right, and people think like that. And I was going to say, what's Mark Fry's famous thing? Knucklehead? Bunch of knuckleheads. You should hear Mark. He always says that. Right, Adam? That's one of his words. What is a knucklehead? All right. So we're going to find out through the Bible that Jesus wanted people's bodies whole, all right? And he didn't come just to save you. He came because he wanted to help us get whole, our bodies whole, not be sick, all right? So everybody say, Jesus the healer. Aren't you glad? Jesus the healer. Now, one thing I found out since I'm a Christian, and also found out when I'm a pastor, is that if someone gets attacked in their body with sickness. And by the way, sickness is an attack, right? Sickness is an attack against your body. Listen, you can even go to the doctor, and the doctors will say, now I was world famous for going for poison ivy, but I didn't go this year. Hallelujah. But this year through our church, somehow we ended up with this thing called hoof and mouth. Hoof and mouth disease. And a lot of the mommies took their babies to the doctor. And the doctor will told them, this is an attack on your baby's body, and some things are going to happen in their body. And they will run a fever, because that was to help get over the attack. So listen, God created these amazing bodies. Even when there's an attack, he's got these incredible bodies that go after the attack. And if I knew my biology and this white cell and blood cells, I forgot which eat ones up and that and stuff. But I do know about this hoof and mouth disease, because it was not fun. Now, we've got people that religious people that think sickness and disease is actually a blessing from God. But that's not right. But they think that. I know what you meant, right? Okay, they think God made them sick, or else this one gets me every time. God allowed it, all right? God allowed it. Now, in churches like ours, where we've heard the word of God, and we believe Jesus the healer, right? Everybody say, Jesus the healer. We believe that, right? Yeah, we believe that. Now, but what happens if, by chance, our bodies get under attack and we get sickness? This is what I hear people say. 50-50, this is what I hear. Well, I must have done something wrong. If I could tell you how many phone calls I got. Oh, okay, I'll leave. Okay, check, change the names of the innocents. How many phone calls I got from people after Jack passed away that they were mad at him, and then they had sickness on their body, and they wanted to get right because they did something wrong. I was like, well, I can't fix that now anyway. Just, you know, it's done. But people would call us up, and me too. Pastor D, I'll never forget. I was sitting up here, and this lady comes up. Pastor D, I'd like you to forgive me. I go, well, what for? Well, I didn't blah, blah about you. And I was like, well, sure, Domino's Nabisco, you're forgiven, whatever. You know, I'm sorry, that was not nice. Excuse me. I said, I was really nice. I'm sorry, Gerald said, Pastor D, be nice. Okay, so I said, yes, you're forgiven, of course. I come to find out the next week that the reason why she did that is she had some attack in her body, some sickness. Okay, so yes, we're Christians. We believe the word of God. Right? We believe Jesus is a healer, but then we get these goofy things that, you know, well, if I've been attacked, it's because I did something wrong. And that's not always it, because we have an adversary, the devil, and he just plain old attacks. He's good. He's attacking, okay? So, and then you have Christians, they just don't know why. They're sick. They're running around. Well, God's allowing it so I can learn something. All right. So today what I hope to do through the word of God, because don't listen to me, listen to the word of God. Through the word of God is to kick out some of this knucklehead teaching stuff. All right. Mark, say amen. Amen. So let me ask you a question. This is the setup. How many of you have a credit card? How many of you have a bunch of them? Don't raise your hand. Okay. Now, so you raise your hand if you have at least one. Now, some of us have a bunch of them. And did you notice when you first got that, they told you your limit on the credit card, right? You better have looked at that. Okay. I remember when all my kids, when they went off to college, but their senior year of high school, we're getting them ready to go off for college. We helped them apply for a credit card. And the limit came back $300. Now, when you're in high school, they're like, woohoo, we're going shopping. And I said, no, that's so you can have an emergency fund to get home for Christmas to see your mama. Okay? That is why you have that credit card. It was for emergencies. Okay? So, but as they got older and matured and got jobs and got raises and doing life, what happened to the credit card limit? It goes up. $3,000, $10,000, $30,000. What do we have on that church credit card when we were buying airline tickets? It was like out the wazoo. $20,000, $50,000, okay? All right, now, but, so they have a limit, right? You have limits on credit cards, and you should know what your limit is. But what happens if you max out that card? If you max out all those cards, and you start spending money you don't have? Oh, boy is right. I'm going to introduce you to Dave Ramsey and plastic surgery, right? Throw that baby out, and because you need to make some changes, all right? Now, what happens, it's very interesting because I hear this. People will say, or let me say it this way. People should never say to God, after they've maxed out their credit cards, don't look at your wife. Don't lose anything. They've maxed out the credit card, and they'll say to God, God, the devil is just attacking my finances. Now, are they supposed to be saying that? No. Why? Yeah, you guys are smarter than a fifth grader. You can have your credit card. Because if you don't know that. No, you know why? Because the devil didn't max out their credit card, did they? They abused their credit card. Okay. Okay, I'll tell stories. All right. Now, let me bring this over to the physical, okay, the physical realm. Our bodies, God made us. God made our bodies. By the way, you are not evolved from an ape. They're ugly creatures. They're not too bright. I just really don't, you know, I came from an ape. That's just off the chart. Knuckle brain, right, Mark? Okay. Okay, so, as a matter of fact, the Bible says we are wonderfully and intricately made, right, in His image. God made us, all right? Now, But as life goes on, sometimes, not anybody here, I am not pointing fingers here. I wish they were here. No, I'm only kidding. But sometimes we abuse our body. We abuse our body like the credit card. Case in point, my sister Mary last year went home to be with Jesus at 54 years old. She had been abusing her body for 30 years on hard, cheap liquor. But about 10 years ago, the doctor said, "Now, Mary, you got some problems going. You need to get this straight, all right?" But she kept abusing her body, okay? And you have people that have been smoking some 20, 30 years, and they got, and they go to the doctor, and they tell them, you know, you need to stop abusing your body. And then you get them in a prayer line, and they say, "Oh, Pastor D, the devil has attacked my body." No, you run your body down. You abused it, okay? Now, the very wonderful thing, interesting thing is, God loves us so much that he wants us well. So whether you've abused your body or it's just Satan is on this earth and he just plain old attacks you, God loves you and he wants your body well. All right, so, you know, he wants your body well, and he sent Jesus, okay? Now, but it's real. Now, I got to put this, my two cents mama thing in here. But it's so much better not to always be in the prayer line going, "Oh, Pastor Day, pray for me. I need help in my finances. Pastor Day, pray for me. I need help. My body's breaking down." I found out after I hit 50, things were breaking down. Because I wasn't doing anything with this body. So my confession is, I love to exercise. I love to exercise. I love to exercise, all right? I was having knee problems, you know, everything problems, okay? So isn't it better not to live always needing a miracle? Okay. Okay. Everybody say, let's take care of these bodies, all right? Now, another thing I see happen, not in our church, the church over there, right? Is that if another Christian gets attacked in their body, well, she must not be living right. Now, I'm only thinking that. I don't say that, right? And I wonder what you're doing wrong. Okay. That's not our church, right? We don't think stuff like that, all right? Listen, it's an attack. It's an attack. And you ought not to be... We talk about not judging. Don't judge. Whew, don't judge. Okay, everybody say, Jesus is the healer. By the way, Jesus is the healer. Who's the attacker and accuser? Yes, yeah, so don't do that stuff, all right? All right, Jesus is the healer. All right, so now, what happens if you're here today and you don't know Jesus? Guess what? Jesus went about doing good, healing all. This is the place to be. Jesus will heal you if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior. So this is a good place to be today, right? All right, don't judge, right? So, by the way, did you ever read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Say yes, Pastor D, I read my Bible all the time. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everybody that Jesus healed didn't know Jesus. They weren't born again. How's that? Get your head, all right? And why? Because he wanted to show him he's the healer, he's good, he's showing him the Father. That's why you should walk up to any old buddy and pray for them, all right? They don't have skills. Well, I'm not doing it, okay. All right? Okay, turn over. No, I don't know, where should I do? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All right. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 35. Say, Jesus is the healer. The healer's in the house. The healer's in the house. Yeah, he's here too, by the way. All right. Now, that was so I could find my place and I didn't find it. Here. Matthew 9, 35. It talks about Jesus. It said, then Jesus went about the cities and the villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. How many sicknesses and diseases? All. Every. That's what Jesus did. Matter of fact, you're looking at what Jesus did. He's got three things in his ministry. And so if he's got those things going on, I think he's kind of interested in healing. And he healed everything, every disease. So, AIDS, is that too big for Jesus? Okay, we saw a lot about ALS. Is that too big for Jesus? There's nothing, because it said he went about healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So no matter what it is, it's not too big for God. Everybody say, not too big. Doesn't matter. It's not too big, all right? Also, we see from looking at that verse that Jesus' ministry was teaching, preaching, healing. So you could say his job was, oh, I'm going to go healing today. I love to heal people. That's my job. I'm going to heal and make their bodies whole. That's, come on, look at that scripture. That was his, I know it sounds corny, but that was his job. And he loved to do it. Alrighty? Now, turn over to Acts 10. Now this part, say right now you love me, because I'm in a nail. Acts 10, I'm not going to tell you where, so you read ahead. Acts 10 is Peter, the Apostle Peter, and he's preaching. He is having fun preaching. But do you know who he's preaching to? People who don't know Jesus. The Apostle Paul is preaching to people who don't know Jesus, and he is actually going to introduce them for the very first time to Jesus. That whole chapter there. It's actually a bunch before and a bunch after, all right? So, now, if I were preaching to this whole place and none of you knew Jesus, and I got to introduce you for the very first time to the love of my life, my Lord and Savior, whoa, I'd be excited, right? Now, how about you? How about some other people? And they got to introduce you for the very first time. And they go up to you, Miss Robin, and they say, hey, no, say no. Say, hey, do you know Jesus? Say no. Say no. No, she said no. And then I said, well, you're going to hell, girl. How's that for an introduction? For the very first time. I think you can do better. Thank you. It does. All right, listen, they know they're going to hell. You don't have to tell them that. They want to know where to go. All right. So Peter, the Apostle Peter, gets to introduce all these, and there are billions of, I mean, exaggerated. And there's a bunch of people, and he gets to introduce them to Jesus for the very first time. And this is what it says. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus. He's telling them about Jesus for the first time. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. You can tell how old I am. With the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Underline that. Doing good. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So you know what Peter is saying? I'd like to introduce you to a good God. I'd like to introduce you to a good God. Wouldn't you like to be introduced finally to a good God? Life's hard. I want good. Everybody like good? Man, all right. So he introduces them to a good God. Now, let's just suppose you were in a meeting with Jesus. Did you ever hear Jesus come up and say, hi, you can be sick? No. Jesus went about doing good, healing all and every disease, right? He didn't go, oh, sorry, I don't like the color of your hair. You're going to be sick. You can be sick. He didn't do that. Why? 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 Because he was good. Went about doing good. Healing everybody, every disease and every sickness. Okay, now, so here's Peter in this meeting, and he's introducing everybody to Jesus, and people in the meeting are sick. How many of you go to people meetings and places where people just go to Walmart? They're sick. No, not bad that sick, but you know, there's sick people bobbling around there, okay? So Jesus, Peter says, I'd like to introduce you to Jesus, you sick folk. And he is healer. And he's here today. Ta-da. All right? Can everybody say, Jesus is healer? All right. So Peter introduces him, and he says, Jesus is good, healing all who are oppressed from the devil. Okay, now let me say something. Sickness comes from the devil. Y'all understand that, right? Sickness comes from the devil. And the reason why we have sickness around here is because mankind, Adam fell in the garden, all right? And sickness came, and it's on the earth. But we have a but. We have a good thing, all right? So, now, how many of you can't wait till Jesus comes back? You get a new glorified body. I think I'll be a size. I'm trying to figure out what size I should be this time. I used to say size 2, and I was like, forget that. Okay, Jesus is going to come back. We got a new heaven and earth, a new glorified body with no sickness and disease. And if you've died and gone on to heaven before everybody else, guess what? You have a new body with no sickness and disease. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Okay, and you know what? You know why? It's because you can have heaven on earth. We're supposed to, if you believe the healer. That's God's plan, that you'd have heaven on earth in your bodies, all right? Amen. All right, so for the remainder of the time, we're not doing too bad. I'm going to go over about 7 scriptures. I am not going to read them because a lot of them are lengthy, but you guys take notes, don't you? Because if you take notes, you get to heaven first, all right? You get the card that goes, go first, get $200. But really, I'm going to go through the book of Mark. And Mark, Mark is just a fun, I always say this is my favorite scripture, and then I'll say this is my favorite book. But Mark has a lot of stories about Jesus healing people. And it was very interesting as you read those stories. They're all action people. They're not, they're action people with Jesus. And you'll see that as I explain these stories. So I'm just going to say, such as, open up to Mark chapter 1. Write down Mark chapter 1. All right, and what am I going to tell you? Verses 40 through 42. All right? So we're going to go over some amazing stories where Jesus heals people. And listen, if you just got diagnosed, if you've been diagnosed with something for a long time, if you just found out you have 3rd stage, 4th stage, 5th stage, Jesus the healer. The way Jesus healed in the book of Mark is still good today. So you should be like, yes, I'm going to take notes. Amen. All righty. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 42. All right, so you're writing that down. And this is going to be called, the title of this one, I gave them little clicky names here, The Leper. Now, most of you have probably read that. Okay, so the man that Jesus runs into is a leper. Now, leper is a person, is a disease. He has a disease. He's a leper who has a disease. It's actually a very bad disease. It's a terminal disease. It's a very destructive disease. Ears fall off. One day you're brushing your hair, looking in the mirror, and your nose falls off. Okay? It's not a good disease, is it? It's not a good disease, okay? Now, if you lived in the Old Testament times, if you had this disease, you are not allowed to be in crowds. So you couldn't come here to church. Can't come in here. Okay? And let's say you're a kid in your family and you have this disease. You'd have to leave your family. All right? It's not a good disease, is it? No disease is a good disease, right? So this man comes to Jesus. That's the action part. This man comes to Jesus. And the first thing he does wrong is he comes to Jesus in a crowd. Jesus is in this huge crowd. Jesus is in the crowd. Now, wait a minute. I'm a leopard and I have this disease. Am I supposed to be there? But this man's taking some action. And he comes to Jesus in the crowd. And he comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you will too, will you make me whole? And I threw a little word in there, but basically, if you will to do, Will you make me whole? All right, now, can you just imagine Jesus coming up and in a crowd and going, well, I won't today. Nope, I won't. Jesus said, I will. All right, Jesus doesn't say, I won't. Listen, if you are hearing, oh, he won't do that because you know what I did, guess whose voice you're listening to? The wrong voice. All right? I had somebody I was ministering to. You don't know what I did. I don't want to know what you did, but Jesus will heal you. All right? Now, there's a lot of people that fall into this category of they know Jesus has the ability to heal. Matter of fact, can God do anything? Yes, Pastor D. Can God heal anything? Yes, Pastor D. So there's a lot of people that know that. But the next part is, but Jesus, are you willing to heal me? Me! That's where people fall, okay? So you got to say, wait a minute. Jesus heals all. Jesus heals all, right? So, and he will heal me. Now, I lost my place on my notes. Here I go. Alrighty. So this man comes to Jesus, breaking all the rules, taking some action in his life, and he goes, Jesus, will you heal me? And Jesus says, yes, I will be healed. And you know, there's a lot of people in that same boat. I wonder if he'll heal me. Well, it's real simple. Everybody say, yes, I will heal. That's Jesus, because Jesus is healer. All right. Now, I was in a meeting this past, what day? I've been all over the roads these days. Thursday, I was up at a pastor's meeting, and we had 8 of us sitting around a table. Got to meet this lovely couple, Rick, and this girl's name is Sherry, Sherry. And so we go, where are you from? And obviously, I didn't have to ask them what they do, because they were all, it was only a pastor's meeting. And this man starts telling me that he's a pastor, but about his life. I mean, he got kicked out of the house by the time he was 13. Then he joined the army, and he became a drunk and a drug addict. And then in the army, he meets Jesus. And he decides to come back to his hometown. Now, let me back up. He got kicked out of his house really young because he was bad. No one is ever bad, but they were doing bad things. And he had a really bad reputation. And he gets saved in the army. He comes back. And he becomes a pastor. And I would have never known just to listen to him. And he tells me this whole story. Listen, I want to tell you, Jesus will use you. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. And he'll use you when everybody else says, not usable, unusable, all right? So everybody say, Jesus says, I will, and he loves doing that. You know why he loves doing that? Because this guy, Rick, he just says, listen, it is God. It is only God. So that's a good one, isn't it? All righty, now, how about this? Let me ask you this. Jesus said to this man, I will. So if you've got problems in your marriage, Jesus says, I will restore it. Should have been louder than that. I will. Yes, amen. How about you have a broken relationship with a son or a daughter, a mother or sister, something like that? Jesus says, I will. I'll heal it. All right, there's nothing that he doesn't do if you let him do, right? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. The second one, turn over to Mark, or write this down. We're not reading through this. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to call this Left Behind. Mark chapter 2. Oh, you guys are so wonderful. Up here, just read that because you know me in numbers. Okay, this is about a man that was left behind who had 4 friends. Now, if you had what this man had, you would have been left behind, unless somebody came and got you and took you to the party. Unless somebody remembered to come and get you to take you to a meeting, you would have been left behind because of what was going on in your body. Okay? Everybody say, except. He had 4 friends. Now say, 4 crazy friends. Listen, he had 4 crazy friends. And I will tell you something, you need four crazy friends, everybody. Crazy friends that will believe with you when everybody else says it's impossible. Crazy friends that says, I'll be with you and help you because everybody says it's impossible. So everybody say four crazy friends. Amen. Everybody needs four crazy friends. So these four crazy friends, this man's on a cot, and they know Jesus is at this guy's house. So they grab the man, they grab the cot on the man on the cot, and they carry him to the house. They get to the house, and they can't get in. It's full. You know who's in there? Jesus. And a bunch of religious folk. And then there's good folk. There's good folk in there. I'm sorry, I'm being critical. But basically, the good thing to know is Jesus is in the house. It also says Jesus is in the house. And where Jesus is, the presence of God is. And where the presence of God is, the healing is. The healer is there, all right? So they get him to the house. They can't get in. They carry him up on the roof. They tear apart the roof tiles. Benny, what a mess. And they lower this guy in the middle of this smashed full room, all right? Now, that's hard work, but you got four crazy friends. Nothing's hard. You got those four crazy friends. Okay, they lower, and Jesus looks up. And then looks over at this guy, and you know, what does he say? Go look in your Bible. Come on. Is that what it said? Okay, and at the end, he said he saw their faith. He saw their faith. Okay, what does that mean? You know, sometimes I read things, I'm like, well, great, it's in the Bible. What does that mean? He saw the crazy friends believed if they could get their friend to Jesus, he would heal him. That's seeing their faith. Those are action guys, aren't they? Oh, I love those crazy friends. Yeah, look at that, all right? So, now listen, this guy must have been paralyzed, right? Because I would have said, hey, walk, right? So this guy was paralyzed, but Jesus heals him. He gets completely healed. Now, how many of you have had things in your life that have paralyzed you? I'm not talking physically, just paralyzed you. Okay? Jesus will heal it. Take it to Jesus. Put some action. Say, Jesus, I'm paralyzed. I've seen people paralyzed with fear. Fly around that airplane with Jack for the first time. And I didn't like that. I said, I will not be in that. I won't go. No, I'll be in the airplane, but I was going to get out of that fear. All right? I've seen people paralyzed in grief. Paralyzed because a spouse left them. Okay, so people get paralyzed. And Jesus, you know, just get four crazy friends with you and believe Jesus will heal. Because Jesus is, amen. All right, hallelujah. All right, third one we're going to do, Mark 3, 1 through 5. This one I call, Mark 3, 1 through 5, this one I call the limited. And this is the man with the withered hand. Okay, this is a man that's got a withered hand, and it's not functioning, right? And this guy's at church, in the synagogue. Who else is in church? Jesus. And who else? Those guys. Yeah, those guys, all right? Okay. And they're there, and they're watching Jesus to see if he's going to heal on the Sabbath because they're so religious. Jesus doesn't care what day it is. He could care less. He doesn't care where you are, what day. Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay. And what does Jesus say to the guy? Stretch out your hand. Reach out your hand. Now, this guy is probably thinking, I can't do that. I've never done that. But Jesus says, stretch out your hand. He does, and he's healed. Because Jesus is healer. Wow. Okay, now. Another one. Oh, my gosh, we've got to keep going. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. This is the lunatic. This is the lunatic. Okay, basically, this is a demon-possessed person. All right? Do we still have demon-possessed people? Yeah, baby. There's one that walks up and down this road. Okay. Now, the first time, I know exactly where I was and who I was talking with at a kitchen table, and they're talking about demon-possessed people. I was like, oh, my gosh. It just freaked me out and scared me. But listen, you don't have to be scared. Number one, a demon-possessed person can't control himself. They're just, they're controlled by the demon. So if you're here today, I'm pretty sure you don't have a possessed because you wouldn't have come here, right? And also, if you're born again, you can't be possessed because who possesses you now? Jesus, all right? You can't be possessed. So you don't have to be, all right? All right, so a demon-possessed person controls you, all right? And, okay. So the background on this story is, Jesus had just left this side of the lake. He hops in the boat with his guys, gets to the other side of the lake, and this demon-possessed man comes up to Jesus, comes running up to Jesus. And guess where he lives? He lives in the cemetery. Hey, where do you live? I live in the cemetery. Where do you live? I live in the cemetery. So this guy lives in the cemetery, runs up to Jesus, and the Bible tells you, if you read this, is that he was naked. Okay, and he was cutting himself. Another place it says that they would try to tie him up with chains and he would just bust him. He is out of control, all right? Now, so he runs up to Jesus. Now, I got to say this. I don't know how to say this first. And he doesn't start talking. The man doesn't start talking, but the demons inside of him do the talking because they control him. All right. And by the way, the Bible says he had a legion. A legion means a whole bunches. What's a thousand? I forgot what a legion was, but lots. Okay. And they start talking. What do you have to do with us, Jesus? And what does Jesus, listen, he's not polite. Well, I'd like your permission to come and no, what does he say? Come out. Just like that, and the demons leave. Now, before they leave, they start begging. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, please, can we go in the piggies? Can we go in the pigs? And they end up by going in the pigs, and the pigs run off the cliff and get drowned. So demons and pigs don't do good, do they? Huh. Now, okay, we have some amazing books in the bookstore. And it'll talk about all of this, but I'm just going to rock your boat right now. Go study your Bible or go to my bookstore and you can get some books. But your house can't have a demon. Well, Pastor D, the guy I bought it for said there's ghosts in there. Ghosts, demons, right? There are no ghosts or demons, all right? And demons only like to possess living things. So go get a plumber. If your walls are banging, that's all it is. It's not a ghost. Now, I had an argument with somebody, and I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to throw this out, because every once in a while, I want to see your hair all messed up. Okay? Okay? So, and you can't have a demon if you're possessed. It cannot possess you. It cannot possess you. It cannot possess you. You may think your wife is possessed, but it cannot possess her, because she's born again. She's got Jesus in her. But this is what the devil can do. And tries to do all the time. He'll try from the outside to dump thoughts on you. That's all he can do. All right? And all you have to do, what? Tell him to get lost. Speak the word. Say, get out of here. Okay? But he'll try to come to your brain and put thoughts in there. And you just say, no, get out of here. I'm a child of God. I'm, you know, all that stuff. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. How's that for rocking you a little bit? So Jesus came, he set this guy free, and free is good. Oh, free is good. Okay, next one, Mark 5, 25 to 30. We're calling this long standing. Write that down, long standing. This is the woman with the issue of blood, all right? This is the woman with the issue of blood. How long was she standing? long, 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 right? So I'm calling this long standing. Matter of fact, how many years was she standing? 12 years? Yeah, 12 years. Okay. 12 years she has this issue of blood, which simply means that she just kept bleeding, all right? And nothing could stop it. She spent all of her money and grew worse, all right? And so one day, Jesus is in this big crowd, big, huge crowd. Matter of fact, the best way I can describe this, one day when I was a lot younger and a lot dumber, I went to Times Square on New Year's Eve. Oh my God. Knucklehead, Mark, knucklehead. Okay. And you are in crowds that are just pushing all over. Well, this is what's going on. Jesus in the crowd and people are just pushing all over him, all right? So he's walking through the crowd, there's people pushing all over him, and this little lady comes up and pushes, pushes, and she says, if I could just touch the fringe on his robe. Okay, now, but you got to get this. This is Times Square, New Year's Eve. So she is pushing. Now, there's big, you could probably do better this way. So I'm pretty sure. I hope I don't lose it. She's pushing. She finally grabs hold of this. The fringe all the way down here. She gets hold of it. And Jesus turns around and he says, who touched me? And his disciples are going, for real? Did you look around? And they go, we don't know. Listen to this. Hundreds, if not thousands, because we exaggerate, of people touched Jesus. But only one person got Jesus to turn around. Only one person, that little lady. Do you know why? Because she had heard, and she had heard stories about Jesus in this town, in that town, in this town, and she had heard. And then she said, if I can just touch the fringe, the bottom part of his robe, bathrobe, you know, I call it bathrobe, I'll be healed. And Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? and she's probably right about there. I would have been on the floor. Oh, my God. Maybe I'll just lie and tell him it wasn't me. For a split second, right? And he says, who touched me? And he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Amen. Daughter, your faith has made me whole. Listen, and I love faith, but can I get it really simple? Daughter, you believed. You believed. Man. And Jesus is like, I love it. Now, hallelujah. Where else can I do? Now, the crazy thing about this story is, remember the leper? I'm going to tie this together. The leper? Okay, back in those days, you know, you weren't allowed in the crowd. And same with this lady. The disease that she had in her body, she was not allowed to be in that crowd. Unclean. You're not allowed to be around people. And they had to, the leper, they had to, if they were going to be in the crowd, and I think they had to wear a certain color, and I've forgotten the little details on that, but you can Google it because that has the answers. It's so fun. Okay, but they had to yell, the leper and this lady with this particular disease, if they wanted to be in the crowd, they had to yell, I'm unclean. Hi, I'm unclean. Unclean, unclean. And you know what Jesus says with the leper? Yeah, give a darn. He touches him. All right? And you know what this lady does? She doesn't go screaming up there because she's going to put some action. She is tired of being called and put in a box, and she just goes, oh, I'm going to get... She goes up, if I can just touch the hem of a garment, I will be healed. Clean. Everybody say, Jesus heals. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, almost last one. Here we go. Mark 5, 21 to 24. I'm going to call this lethal. Lethal. Deadly. This is Jairus. Okay? Nobody wants their kids to die before they do. Never met a good parent that wanted their kids to die before they did. I've never met a parent that when they had a kid that had a disease that they didn't do everything imaginable. Who's just telling me they went to some fundraiser? Oh, that was Maureen this morning. Okay, fundraiser for someone who had cancer. As a parent, you do everything and anything for your kid. And this is a lethal case right now. Jairus has a daughter that's dying. And he puts some action and he goes to Jesus. All right? And while he's going to see Jesus, a messenger comes up and he says, "Hey, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." And Jesus hears that. He turns around to Jairus and he says, "I'm coming to your house. Don't fear. I'm coming to your house," right? All right? Now, in between all of that, we got that woman with the issue of blood. She cuts in line, gets healed. And Jairus is probably thinking, "Man, you cut in line. I hope there's healing left." Some people think that, you know, when the last apostle died, the, you know, all the gifts went and all the healing went. Okay, same thing. Listen, Jesus is alive forevermore and healing is forever here. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Amen. All right. So Jesus goes with Jairus to his house. They get to the house and the house is packed out with a bunch of crying ladies. And maybe some guys there. They call them the mourners. And they're just yelling, "Woo! Woo!" That's what they do. And Jesus comes up and he says, "Well, what are you doing?" And they do the whole thing. And he says, "Well, she's not dead." And they just make fun of him. They start laughing and mocking him. And he just so nicely, I don't think so nicely, but, you know, he says, "All right, you can get out of the room. Get out of the room. Get out of the room." So they get out of the room. He goes in with the dad and the mom. And Jesus prays for the little girl, and the girl's healed. Wow. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? All right. She comes back to life because Jesus, he is the healer, and Jesus heals. All right. Last one. Okay, I promise. This is the last one. Mark 5:6. Okay, Matt, I'm going to read this, though. Mark 5:6 out of the Amplified, just because... How about Mark 6:5? Thank you. Reversal, dyslexia. No. Nope, I don't want to read that. Yes, I do. Okay. Maybe I want to read out of here. Oh. Mark 6:5. All right, this happens a lot. Mark 6:5. Now, Jesus was preaching in his hometown. Goes back to York County. And it says he could do no mighty work there except he lay his hands on a few sick people and healed them. All right. And I won't go to why. But anyway, we're going to call this little things. Sometimes we have little things in our life where our body's sick and we just get used to it. I get used to this. All right. I get used to that. And Jesus, he's interested in the big things, you guys. He's interested in the little things. Jesus has compassion for you. Whatever's going on in your life, he said, "I will heal. Would you come to me, though?" All right? So I've done this. So I've got to get better at going, "Wait a minute, I'm sick." I have a friend, and they guys got that fungus thing on their nail. And he has just put up with it and put up with it, put up with it. And I was thinking, "Wait a minute. That's just a little thing. Why should I bother Jesus?" Listen, this one said he even healed little things. So you can go to Jesus with big things, medium things, and little things because he loves us and he wants all part of our body whole. All parts of our body whole. Okay, I'm going to do one more scripture. Yeah, that's what she said the last time. Luke 4. Luke 4:16. This is Jesus. He's in the temple. They hand him the book of Isaiah to read, and he opens up to the spot. It wasn't one of these Russian roulette days. Some people do. Where should I read today? Okay. He opened up to the spot, and he So we came, let me see where it is. Okay, 17. And there was handed to him the roll, the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened up, unrolled the book, and found the place where it was written. And this, and he quotes from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth, deliver those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The day when salvation and freedom and favor, God, da, da, da. Okay, so he rolled up the book. You know what he's saying there? I am the healer. I completely do restoration. All right? And I'm telling you guys, Jesus is the healer today. By the way, I'm going to have my ushers come up. Where'd they go? Raise your hand so I know. Okay. And you can serve right here. So are they up front? They're up front. You know that. Just leave me alone. Say, oh, Pastor D, leave me alone. I'm fine. Go ahead. Okay. You know, I thought we're wrapping up the series Jesus Is, and we're talking about healing, and we should call everybody up for healing. I was like, all ready for that. And the Lord says, no. Do you need more help? You guys, you got it? Cool. They're cool. All right. Yeah, go ahead. Go, just ask him. Just butt in and say, come here, I'll help you out. All right. So I was praying about this, and I just thought we could all come up if you had something in your body that you wanted us to pray for. And I'd pray for you, and we'd have the elders pray for you. And the Lord says, you're receiving communion. You're receiving communion. You're receiving. Go ahead, you can serve. You're receiving the healer. How would you like to receive the healer? Okay, yeah. Now, I know I am born again, and I have received the healer here. Sometimes I need a little physical help, not a smack in the head, to remind me that I have received the healer. And I believe that when Jesus says, I will, I have, all right? So we're going to receive communion. And I'm going to say we're going to receive healing. Receive healing. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed the devil. He healed every sickness and disease. So if you have an every, you know, I was cracking up in the car, and I was thinking, you know, it talks about in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were coming in, they had to fight the Hittites, the Amorites, the whatites. And the Lord says it's like the tendonitis, bursitis, plantar fasciitis, itis. And he said, I've healed, I've delivered, I've set you free from all those itises. I was like, oh, all right. We sang a song. Can I have one, please? Okay. You need one here? And what are we doing? The rest? Do everybody have everything? Anybody missing anything? Juice up here? Okay. Thanks, Rod. I'm going to just take a little itty bitty one. Thanks. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Everybody have? All right. Thanks, guys. Girls. Nice people. Hallelujah. I used to do this not understanding. Just did it because that's what we did. And then I met Jesus. Anybody meet Jesus? Anybody have Jesus change your life? Anybody have him forgive you all, all your stuff? And he never holds it against you? Why would you think he'd withhold healing? He does not. All right. So, praise God. Wait till my gang here. You want to put on a little background music, you know. Otherwise, I'll sing here. No. Thanks. All right. Thanks, guys. Amen. Say, God is good. He loves me. He's got compassion for me, my house, the lost. He just loves. And healing is one of the ways. Ron and I were talking about that. Why does he heal? It's just one of the ways he shows his love. And he's not a respecter of persons, whether you know him or don't know him, whether you've been born again a day or 50 years. It's just God showing you his love. But will you take action? So we're going to take some action here, all right? If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. Father God, right now we just come to you. We come to you and we thank you that your son displayed all of your heart as he walked this earth. And he went about healing every disease and every sickness. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, you can take this, the cracker. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. You died for my body. You know, he also died for mental illness. That's a broken part, right? So that's part of those things that some people say, oh, that's too big. No, it isn't. He died for that. He died for broken hearts. I know. Healed my heart. He died to heal. Heal relationships. So let's just receive it right now. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Eric, you wanted to say something here? Thank you. Blue. Thank you.
I don't think you know how humbling it is to stand up here and freeze in front of everyone. I used to teach up here at the podium for 45 minutes at a time on a Sunday morning, and here I get humbled up here, and you know what? Here I'm an elder. You know what? I sat back there. I went back there, and man, oh man, did I condemn myself. Boy, I was judging myself. I'll tell you, thoughts were coming into my mind. I said, no, this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. The Lord Jesus, he loves me. It was humbling up here, but you know what? I learned something. I learned it. Not allowed to get the devil to speak to you in your mind.
That's right.
Lord loves us. That's why we have communion.
Amen.
He loves us so much. He reminds us of what he did for us.
Amen.
He died on the cross.
He loves us.
He loves us. He shed his blood.
Thank you. Amen.
I just want to thank you for Pastor Dean for letting me come up here and just give me a kind of a teaching.
Amen. Amen. You mean God would use you? Yes, yes, yes. God would use you. And God will use you. Amen, amen. Well, my heart is just big in love, and I love you all. I hope you wrote down these scriptures. If not, Lane's got them all written down on a piece of paper up there. And go home and study them. And you know, I have a friend, and he got attacked. And he was being like the last person I'd see this coming, and he got attacked and ended up just having a, what do you call it, colostomy bag he has to wear. That's the pits. But you know what? He says, Pastor D, every day I read a healing scripture, and I am thanking God for whose I am, who I am, what I am, and what he's doing in my body. It's like, oh, Frank, amen. Amen. Okay, I'm not going to talk anymore. We have communion fellowship. How many people are still?